God bless you in this morning, everybody. In John 15, verse 1, the Word of God said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bear fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and threw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I'm sorry for the bad pronunciation. I am learning. God's will from the beginning of the creation of the world is for all things he created to prosper, that is not die, but to be fruitful, right? In Genesis, is correct? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and verse 12, God blessed the grass, right? Can you go there? Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the air brought forth grass, the air that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. In the verse 26 and 28, the same chapter, 26 to 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. He commanded the plants to yield seed and the trees to bear fruit. And when we formed man, he gave him exactly the same commandment: be fruitful and multiply. In the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus teaches us that God's will remain exactly the same, that we be fruitful, right? The God will is the same commandment. No, through the kids, right? Only through the kids. Our fruit now are the souls that we need to bring to the feet of Jesus. God bless you in this morning.
Is it off of mute now? Simple yet profound. You know, God has a plan for us, and it's to be fruitful. That kind of goes along with Pastor Cooper's message last week. The tree, you know, he talked about the roots, then the stalk, then the branch, and the leaves. I thought it was neat. He said the leaves, we can be a covering to other people. Like shade, you know, protect them from the sun. And like we have a word, and listening, hearing God's word is a covering for us. It's a protection for us. And then the blossoms can be beautiful. And then ultimately, fruit, like he's saying. And the fruit is not just for food. It's for food, but there's seed inside that fruit. And the fruit reproduces after its own kind. Like in, I think it's Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. The sower is the word of God. And then in the end, the good ground, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold after its own kind. The same thing. Like, that's awesome. I love the simplicity yet the depth of that. How many people like corny jokes? Only a few people like corny jokes. So there was a cop. And he pulled this guy over, and the guy had some penguins in the back seat. And the cop said, those are wild animals. You need to take those to the zoo. So the guy said, okay. So he let him go. And the next day he stops him, and he's got penguins in the back seat. And he said, I thought I told you to take those to the zoo. He said, I did. And today I'm taking them to the movies. That's pretty corny. All right. Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to us more this morning. Thank you for all your words for us, and that we can follow you and trust you and live by every word that comes from your mouth, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So Romans 8:31-34, this doesn't really have a who describing God, but it kind of does. And the rest of this section of verses has a few who's, so I included it in there. If God is for us, that's a first-class condition. It's like if God is for us, and he is, who can be against us? What an amazing thought. Like, what can man do to me? That's what David said, right? What, is he going to kill me? I'm going to heaven when I die. You know, like, who can be against us? If God is for us, Jeremiah 29:11, these people were probably pretty confused as they were taken in captivity, or they were going to be taken in captivity, as a purging, as a pruning, to be more fruitful later. And God tells them, "For I know the thoughts," Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." And in Psalm 139, toward the end, it calls them precious thoughts. He's got a lot of them for us. "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." We have a future and we have a hope. And God's thoughts are toward us for that. That's amazing. And it's for this church. It's for your family. It's for you personally. His thoughts toward you are good. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Like Vali from Romania, he would say, "We are the church that cannot be defeated." He had this little song, like "the gates of hell shall not prevail against us." You know, we're the church that can't be defeated. Like, God is for us. And the verses before that, leading up to that, anybody know Romans 8:28 that ring a bell? I'm sure, like, we've been through some trials. We probably recited that to ourselves a few times and used it to bless other people too. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Who loves God? Those who have received God's love. It says we love him because he first loved us. When we receive what is he's done on the cross, we love him. We can't help but. To those who are called according to his purpose, he has a plan. That's what Jeremiah 29:11 was saying. I have a plan for you to give you a future and a hope. We're called according to his plan. He's got a plan that's bigger than our circumstances. He's got a plan that's bigger than this stuck in time and this fallen world. It's an eternal plan. To those who are called according to his purpose, may not be our plan. You know, his plan is higher than our plan. We might have a plan to go this way, and he might have a plan to go that way. And Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they agree? We need to agree with his plan. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he called. So we were called according to his purpose, and then those he foreknew, he predestined and called. We'll get to the called a little bit more later. But those whom he called, he also justified. It's part of his purpose for you, to justify you. And those he justified, he also glorified. It's a done deal. That's like past tense. Like, we're glorified in Christ. In Ephesians, we've been going through that Thursday nights. We are in Christ, and Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. And we can sit and we can rest knowing that he's got us. What then shall we say to these things? What you have to say about that? What are you going to say about that? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's what we say. If God is for us, who can be against us? Anybody remember Pastor Cooper's message last week? Wasn't it good? He's just so simple. But there's a depth to the simplicity. I love that. Pastor Stan's like that too. He said to go and read the Bible and to read it slow. Did anybody do that? Anybody go back and read their Bible slow? Anybody go back and read that section slow? Like, it's in, there was a testimony. Eugenia's here. She's back there in the corner there. She's still driving. even though we need to keep her in prayer. Her doctor fired her. Said she's got to go on hospice, and she said she didn't want to, and her doctor told her not to come back. Like, so keep her in prayer. But amazing testimony. She's met with this group of people, these elderly ladies. One's across the street. I guess that's how she got connected. I don't know how she got connected. But anyway, there's these group of elderly ladies, and they were like doing a devotional, maybe daily bread or a devotional. And when they started meeting 20 years ago, they didn't know the Bible. And she convinced them, you need to read your Bible. And they were telling her now, 20 years later, we have learned so much from you and from reading our Bible. Like, what a great testimony, you know? Read our Bible. And so, you know, after Adam and Eve sinned, this is Pastor Cooper's message, just kind of reviewing it. They didn't know God was for them, right? Sin, like, blocks that from us. Sometimes we think God's sitting there with a hammer and he takes pleasure in just pounding us in the sand when we mess up, right? Like a condemnation. But he's not. God's for us. Any discipline is actually to bring us back into a relationship with him. And so God spoke creation. He had this authority and a majesty. And it's the same word in our life. He can speak into our life and heal us and cleanse us and heal our mind. And then they had an intimacy. And that's where he went into be fruitful and multiply. And he was talking about the tree. But then chapter 3, enters Satan. And Satan says, question what God said. Has God really said this? And I wrote this down. That's what he said. I like this. Anytime something or a situation causes you to question God, it's from the enemy. Now, I don't think he was talking about, like, God, I don't understand. Why is this happening? I don't think he's talking about questioning God like that. I don't think he's talking about Mary, who is like, okay, I'll have the baby, but how can this be since I don't know a man? Like, generally, like, wondering. I don't think he's talking about that. I don't think he's talking about David saying, why do the wicked prosper? He's talking about saying, has God really said? Questioning God like that. Like, you know God said something and saying, has he really said that? And what situation or thought made Adam sin intentionally? What was he thinking? And I was thinking about this. We talked about a while back. Like, to be a disciple, to have Jesus as Lord of your life, to be a disciple, it says you have to hate your mother, your father, your spouse, your children, in comparison, right, to following God. And he didn't do that. He was going with the slogan of the day, happy spouse, happy house, happy wife, happy life. The slogan of the day, which these are good things, like we want to love and to like build people up, right? But when it comes against putting that against the word of God, no. And there are people that put their children on an altar and they worship their children above God. Their children don't want to come to church, so they don't come to church. Or they want to go somewhere else, and God's leading them here or there, you know, like wherever God's leading them. And God wants us to put his word first. And think about the children. Think about, like, Eli. He's the priest. He trained Samuel really well. And yet his own children, he put them above God. And so in that sense, as far as, like, in relation to the word of God, we hate anything that comes against God. I was thinking too of Ananias and Sapphira. Even sometimes they both come and agree to lie against the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. They agreed. They agreed to lie against the Holy Spirit, to say that's not God. You cannot be my disciple. He's not your Lord if you're not willing to, like, obey the word against even the closest thing in your life that would come contrary to the word. Like, that's the point. And here's the point. God is for you because God's way is the best way. It's the best way. That's the word. If something is telling you to question this, don't listen. It's from the enemy. Don't listen to that. God's word's the best way. And then they knew they were uncovered. Like, God's word was a covering for them. They were living under it. They were being obedient to God's word. And then they were disobedient, and then they knew they were uncovered. They knew they were naked. They didn't have the protection of God, the covering, and then death was going to come. And they came out from under God's covering. They heard the sound of the Lord, and they hid. And here's the point in this. As believers who have received Christ as our Savior, when we have a sin, don't hide from God. Be truthful with God. Be honest with God. Come to God. He is for you. If God be for us, can sin be against us? You know what I'm saying? Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Romans 5. Like, this is amazing. Genesis 3, 11 to 14. We'll just go through it here real quick. He asked a question. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I command you not to eat? So God asked the question, not because he doesn't know the answer to the question. He's giving him an opportunity to be honest, to confess his sins. 1 John 1, 9. You know, we confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can walk with God. And then the man said, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree of life and I ate. And you know, I've always heard messages saying it's a point and game. The woman, the serpent, like everybody's blaming somebody else, right? But if you think of it this way too, like it could be just the truth. Like I ate, like he's admitting I ate. He's trying to explain why, but he's saying, yes, I sinned, I ate. And then as soon as he says that, as soon as he's honest with God, God turns his attention to Eve. But he comes to him first, and then God turns his attention to Eve. And the Lord God said to the woman, oh, that's what the man said, what is it you have done? Once again, he knows what she did. He's giving her a chance to repent, to be honest. And the Holy Spirit does that to us, right? It convicts the world of sin. It comes and convicts us and says, what are you doing? Or what have you done? And many times we say, nothing. I'm not a thing. I'm right. And we rationalize and has God really said and try to explain it to ourselves. And we run away. We hide, you know. And Pastor Cooper, I like this. He says that to us daily. And are we honest with God? We need to be honest with God with our life because we're naked and open before him anyway. Like, he knows anyway. He's given us, and the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So she admitted that she ate. Right? And then as soon as she was honest, God moved to the serpent. And guess what? There's no questions for the serpent. No grace for the serpent. No restoration for the serpent. And you know, they might have been playing the blame game, but they might have been humble when they said it too. And if they were humble, it explains why God covered their nakedness with the skin of an animal, which represents Jesus Christ, right? Something had to die in their place to cover them. And He gives grace to the humble. Satan was not covered. Satan doesn't get grace. He doesn't deserve it, but neither do we. But somehow, that's why it's grace. Somehow he gives it to us for free. Isn't that amazing? The demons don't get grace, but we do. We get grace. God is for you. Don't listen to anything else. He who would not spare his own son, this is who he is. He's the one who would not spare his own son. He could have spared his own son. Everybody could go to hell, and his own son could have not died on the cross. I tell people, I say, you know, if people could get to heaven by good works, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Why would God give his son? It says in John 3, read John 3. You got John 3:16. Before that, you got the story of Nicodemus, be born again. And then John 3:17. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Because why? Because the world was already condemned. That's what it says. The world was already condemned. That whosoever believes in him should not perish. And it's amazing. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Things we get to get from God, he gives us. He gives us gifts. He gives them to us. Salvation's a gift. Who can bring, it's God who justifies. Who can bring a charge against God, God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who shall bring a charge? That person over there is pretty good. He could probably accuse me. Anybody compare themselves to other people? It's not wise to compare yourselves with others, either higher or lower, right? Including, who's going to bring a charge? Including yourself. Anybody else? Anybody ever bring a charge against themselves? Or like our flesh can like be so proud. We think we should be better, you know, and we'll accuse ourselves. God declares you righteous. Romans 5:9. Having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Amazing. We're going to be saved from wrath. There's a lot of wrath coming, and we're saved from that. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. He's the one who died. Did we die for our own sins? Did we die for somebody else's sins? No. Christ is the one who died. He's the one who rose. He's the one who's at the right hand of God. He's the one making intercession for us. Condemnation, we were talking about this morning in the hallway, Ralph and I, condemnation is not from God. Conviction can be from God, and sometimes they disguise themselves, you know, like condemnation will disguise itself. Conviction will, it's always, the goal is always to bring us closer. Condemnation drives us away. It says we're not worthy. Christ died for you. He's in a place to be very effective on your behalf too. Risen at the right hand of the Father. There's one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's right there. He's got the ear of the Father. He's right there in fellowship with him, and he makes intercession for us. And also, we don't condemn other believers. We're not blind to sin. You know, like sometimes, and I would be very cautious with this, the Lord may lead you to admonish somebody. I don't think we should go around, you're a sinner, you know, don't stop this, you know. I'm just saying sometimes the Lord may lead you to admonish somebody. We're not blind to it. But even when they're wallowing in it, we cannot condemn them. Not like that, not like a judgment. Even Christ didn't come to condemn the world, right? He came to save the world. It's Christ who died, who rose, who's at the right hand of the Father, who's making intercession for them. That's who he is. Romans 7:24, talking about the great high priest who never dies, Jesus Christ, continually making intercession for us. I had this friend, he's like, let's join the 24/7 prayer, prayer meeting with Jesus Christ. When we join in prayer interceding for other people, we're joining his prayer meeting because he's having it continually making intercession for us. Why? Why would he do that? Why would he die? Why would he make intercession for us? Love has reasons which reasons know nothing about. We just watched this movie. What was it called? Redeeming Love? Anybody ever seen that? Redeeming Love? It's a pretty hardcore movie. It's kind of like the book of Hosea, but it's a modern version. And this guy loves a prostitute, and he loves her again, and he loves her again for who she is. And then she responds finally. And it's amazing, like, story, amazing thought. And it's like God with us. I know Hosea is like, the whole point of Hosea is like, now you know how I feel, go tell him how I feel, Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And in all what things? All what? Well, they're up there. But go read your Bible. Read it slow and concentrate. All these things. In all these things, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Ooh, I don't like that. Well, he went to the cross as a sheep to the slaughter. That's what he did for us. Affliction, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. Have you ever been so poor? I've been pretty poor in my life. But have you ever been so poor or you ever been robbed that you were left naked? Whoever, raise your hand if you've ever been that poor. I don't think anybody here has ever been that poor. Well, if you ever find yourself that destitute, and spiritually speaking or physically speaking, if you ever find yourself that destitute, you're still more than a conqueror. That's what it says. Through him who loved us, he was mocked, he was beaten, he was naked, and he was crucified as a sheep to the slaughter for you. That's who he is. And a common theme about who God is, he's the God who loves us. That's a common theme. We need to hear it over and over. The Bible has it over and over. We need to hear it over and over. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's the God who loves us. Steve, he's the God who loves us. Isn't that awesome that that's our God is greater? He's the one, and he's the one who loves us. Be in the word and we'll hear how much he loves us. Be in the body too. Like I was thinking about Joel's message, the branch abides in the vine. The vine is Jesus Christ, right? Jesus is the word. Abide in the word. Jesus, we are the body of Christ. Abide in the body. Abide means like live, right? Live. And all these things, the troublesome things, yet we're more than conquerors through him. Complete victory through the one who loved us. And I was thinking too, God's love is the root of victory. Ephesians 3:17, be rooted and grounded in love. And then the tree comes up after the roots, But God's love is the root of victory because it allows us to trust him. It allows us to have faith in him. And we overcome the world through our faith, right? And the love is the root of that. How awesome is the Lord God Almighty. Name above all names, you deserve the praise. That was a cool song. David and I don't plan our songs together, but it's like every time he's like presenting songs as part of the message, and it's beautiful. It's so cool. And on that song too, The piano intro was really beautiful. Thank you, Mary, for playing a piano. Like sometimes you notice one instrument, and it's like, she's a really great pianist and loves God, and thank you for serving. Romans 9:5. Oop, I think it did it. Yeah. From whom, it's talking about Israel, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. Well, there's part of your Trinity right there. Christ is the eternally God blessed. Amen. But how awesome is the Lord God Almighty, name above all names. You deserve the praise. He is the God who is over all. He's over all. Ephesians 1:19-22. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And here it is, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. This guy asked for prayer. He was saying that, oh, Jesus appeared as Muhammad and this person, and like all these different names. And he had, it's like this new age message. Like he was so confused. And it's like, I'm reading this verse and I'm just like, yes, Jesus is the name above all names. He is far above anything. It's Jesus. And we were talking about called. Romans 9:11. The purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Romans 8:28. He called us according to his purpose or his plan. He's got a plan and he called us into it. Romans 8:30, whom he foreknew, those he predestined, whom he predestined, those he called, who he called, those he justified, those he glorified. He called us to be glorified. Like, I don't see it, but I trust him, right? And you think God called Abraham, right? And in Romans 3, the emphasis is by faith. It was by faith. Abraham responded by faith. But here, he called Jacob. And the emphasis is on promise. The promise of God. Well, actually, both of them, the emphasis is on the promise. But it's more on the promise here. He called him before he was born. And this is a mystery, right? And we've talked about that before, this mystery. Like, we respond. We walk by faith. We have a free will. And yet, God has a plan. It's always through promise. It's always through faith. We have the promise and we believe. And we rest as we walk in the path of good works. He's got a path of good works for us, which he prepared beforehand for us in Ephesians 2:10. When God calls, we simply respond by faith. He does whatever he calls us to do, he'll do it. He who calls you, who's faithful, who will do it. He's not going to call you into something that he's not going to make a provision for. He's got a provision for us. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. This is who God is. He's the one who calls us. He's the one who calls us, and he's the one who does it. We're just like, we're just a branch. We're just hanging out with Jesus. You hang out with Jesus, and he does it. He's got the sap. He's got all the sap. We're just hanging out in the body. We don't even know what's going on. Next thing you know, there's a blossom on there, a leaf. You know, you ever see how quickly in the spring there's no leaf? Then there's a leaf. Wow, there's no bud, then there's a bud. There's no fruit. Boom. Then there's a fruit. What happened? It's like, but it seems so slow. You got a fruit tree. Some fruit trees take 10 years before they start bearing. So the tree's growing. It's rooted. Could have the best dirt in the world, rooted. And there's no fruit yet. But God's got a plan. And we're in it. And the fruit's coming. And finally, we'll close with this. Romans 9:16-17. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. God shows mercy. That's who he is. How many need some mercy? I need mercy. We all need mercy, right? We need mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on our church. Have mercy. He's withholding the punishment we deserve. He actually put it on Christ instead and gave us mercy. Mercy rejoices against judgment at the cross. And God, give us mercy. Do you have a strong will? Can you run? A lot of us are here like, no. But if you, sometimes you think you do, and God's not impressed. Lord, we just thank you for today. This is the day you have made. Mary Ann and all of us will rejoice and be glad in it at her baptism after. Just pray that you'll bless that. Bless that baptism. Give us all a revelation of your mercy, of your resurrection. And may we submit our will and our strength to you and have mercy. That you provide our needs. That you lead us. That we would walk knowing you are for us and believe you at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Fifteen, 20 minutes, you know, talk amongst yourselves, whatever, take your time. Come on downstairs. The stairs are in the back there. The little pool's in the back here. And then after, I think some people brought some finger food and all. So thank you.